So for today's featured, because it's been on my mind a lot lately, and I'm coming to see you and we're going to an Aqua concert and the Barbie movie is coming out, I am choosing Barbie from the Toy Story movies.
Oh.
Yes. I mean, it starts with tour guide Barbie in Toy Story 2, but then we get like the other Barbie in Toy Story 3. So there's a variation. But her full name, according to Mattel, is Barbara Millicent Roberts.
Ew.
that's Barbie's full name. What's great, though, is she's voiced by Jodie Benson, our Little Mermaid. Oh, we love her. And, you know, our guest today has a beautiful Little Mermaid tattoo, just for the record. So that's great. Jodie Benson is the voice of Barbie, so we love that. And she also voiced Barbie for commercials and CD-ROM games. Barbie was originally supposed to be in Toy Story 1 as the Woody's girlfriend instead of Bo Peep. But Mattel did not approve.
A scandalo.
A scandalo. They're like, we don't want you changing her personality. And no. But then they saw how successful Toy Story was. Like, okay.
Too late.
Yep. So that's fun. And the one in Toy Story 3 was modeled after a real Barbie. The 1983 Great Shape Barbie toy. So lots of fun tidbits. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'm done.
Remain seated, please. Permanecer sentados, por favor.
The marvelous galaxy.
Disney, yeah. Welcome to this week's Marvelous Galaxy of Disney. My name is Sean, and you'll notice there's no Alan this week because he took off to have fun somewhere else. But even better than Alan, we've got... Hi, Kevin.
Hi. I'm glad to be back.
Yeah. And you brought another friend to the podcast. We have Luke. How are you doing today, Luke?
I'm doing so great. Nice to be here.
Yeah.
So excited.
We're so excited because, Luke, you are playing Steve Rogers in Rogers the Musical, the most anticipated musical for Disney's California Adventure.
Yeah. It's pretty surreal.
Yeah. We definitely have a lot of questions we want to ask you. We're going to try to trick you into spilling some tea that you're not supposed to. No, not really.
You're going to get me fired.
No.
No. I'm excited. I'm seeing actually the D23 preview on Thursday. So I get the early showing.
Okay. Well, let me know which showtimes there are. I'm already revealing things I shouldn't be, but there are specific show times that I'm doing that day, so we'll talk.
Well, before we get to Rogers, we're saving that for the end, but we want to get to know you. Kevin already, got to my first question. I was going to ask you, who's your Disney princess? But I assume, since you have Ariel on you.
I feel like most gay kids loved Ariel. I don't know. I feel like Ariel... I love the music in that movie. It's my favorite Disney movie. It's probably one of my favorite movies, period. I wore the VHS out as a kid. I used to splash around in the bathtub and sing Barbie World. My parents knew I was a singer from a very young age because I would just be singing off in the corner by myself or in the bathtub, and so I grew up in a really conservative, predominantly Mormon town in Utah, and I'm not Mormon. And I was a gay kid, I didn't know it at the time, but I knew that I was different and I felt, othered. And I felt, thankfully I wasn't bullied a lot, but I definitely had a hard time sometimes fitting in. And I always felt connected to her in that way because it's kind of her whole thing is that she doesn't feel, she can be her true self as a mermaid. And mermaids are just great, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. I almost wore a Little Mermaid shirt for you today, too. I was so torn.
By the way, I loved the live action. I thought it was so great.
I did, too. I did too.
Except for Eric's song.
Except for Eric's song.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I have notes, but for the most part, I really, really, I thought they just nailed it with mm-hmm. the casting of Halle Bailey. And I just, her voice is so fantastic. And that's so pivotal to that character, you know, is her voice. And she is so beautiful.
She had all the personality of Ariel. It was all
there.
She did.
So. And just seeing the beautiful animation of her tail, I was like, wow. Like, it was fantastic. Fantastic, you might say.
Oh!
Fantastic. I want to know the secret of how they do the hair. That's what I want to know. Her hair in the water, like, moving so beautifully. Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess they filmed a lot of it in like water tanks.
Yeah.
So that's pretty cool.
Can't do fans. You can't do the blowout.
No, I know. Obviously there was a lot of CGI in the film, but like she said, for instance, the scene where she's like emerging after turning into a human and, you know, the iconic like hair flip. We've all reenacted it in a swimming pool at some point.
Yeah, absolutely. I put a towel over my head and be like,
yeah.
Towel, t-shirt, you name it. She said she like almost broke my neck doing that scene because they did it so many takes. And she said when her hair was wet, she was like, it was so heavy. But and they enhanced it with CGI. But like that is a lot of that is like her hair. And she said it was just like heavy and cumbersome. And she did it. She was dedicated. And I love her for that. And I love what that movie is going to do moving forward for kids who see that and feel seen. And, you know, it's just so amazing. I think it was mm-hmm. the exact right choice. And I'm so happy about it.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my
What I really love about your story is I had a similar journey because, I mean, here's my age. I saw Little Mermaid when I was 5. And I went home and I'm not a singer. I can't sing worth a penny. But I went home and I just started drawing mermaids like crazy. There were just pages and pages of 5-year-old mermaid drawings.
Oh my God, me too.
It was the first Disney movie I ever saw was Little Mermaid.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. It mm-hmm. put them back on the map. I mean, they were getting crushed by like Land Before Time and like Don Bluth was like really killing the game. And then that movie sort of put them back on top.
Yep.
And they've sort of been there ever since.
So here's your next question.
Yes.
I know we kind of went a long time on Little Mermaid because, well, it's Little Mermaid.
Oh, I will never shut up about it.
Are you a Star Wars fan?
You know, I have seen all of them. All the TV series. I enjoy it. I do. I'm not nearly as into it as I would say like Marvel. Like Marvel, I've seen every single film, many of them multiple times. I've seen all the TV series. Star Wars has just not ever like captured my imagination in that way. But I understand why people love it so much, and more power to you is all I could say.
He's on my team, Sean. Thank you.
Fair. Yeah. That's fair.
And people tend to ask me if I was named after the character of Luke Skywalker, and I have to say I was not. My parents actually saw, this is such a deep cut, but the, you know, the movie The Witches with Angelica.
Yes. You know what's funny? I was thinking that. Be your mouse self. There you go.
Yes, the little boy, the main little boy in that movie was Luke.
Mm-hmm. I love the way his grandma said the name too.
Yeah, exactly. Luke, and something about that movie over, even though Star Wars was already like a cultural phenomenon at that point, that was the movie that really sold them on Luke. So anyway, that's my namesake.
Yeah, nice. I love that.
Then I won't ask you what's your favorite Star Wars movie, but what's your favorite Marvel movie then, since you're a Marvel fan?
Oh, man. You know, I have to say, it's just like nothing will ever compare to that feeling in Avengers Endgame when all of the heroes came back through the portals. Like, I replay that moment over in my mind a lot. Like, I don't know that I'll ever have an experience in a movie theater like that ever again. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's how impactful that moment was. Like, when he Cap gets, like, the on your left, and he's like, because he's literally, like, alone. I just got
chills just thinking of the on your left.
Very, like, in my Captain America era, where I'm, like, really appreciating him. I always thought he was great. The character was great. A little too, like, straight-laced and, like, Boy Scout for me. But now that I've gotten to kind of live in that world and get into the mindset of this person, I really just love him. And that moment is even more, like, powerful to me, that he was, like, by himself, like, here I go. I'm never going to stop fighting. And then he gets the, like, on your left, and then all the heroes come and join him. And then Avengers assemble. And then when he gets Mjolnir, I mean, it's just like, it just keeps compounding. Like, so Avengers Endgame, for sure. Yeah. And I cried a lot in that movie.
Oh, you're like Kevin.
I cry a lot. I'm very emotional.
And then I would say, not a close second, but just below it is not a movie, actually. It was WandaVision. That series, absolutely
amazing.
It changed the way I viewed the superhero genre in general. What they did with that show was just, that's another podcast, but I love Scarlet Witch is actually my favorite Marvel character.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
good. This is great.
I'm spooky and I like it.
We have to have you on our X-Men show sometime.
Okay. Yes. Yeah. I love X-Men.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into our news for this week, though. I thought we'd start with Disney, and we'll end on Parks and Rec. Disney.
Okay.
Disney.
Well, we kind of already went through our segue for this one, didn't we?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm so glad we have you here for this announcement, Luke, because I don't know if you've heard, but Ariel is getting her own TV show.
I did know that.
And you did? She's so cute, too.
She's so cute.
And she's based on Hailey Bailey. All of the racist trolls can just suck it.
Yeah,
there's a black Ariel, and it's thankfully more people are happy about it than are mad about it, but there's a very vocal minority of people who are mad about it, and can I swear?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, you can't. Sorry. No, the show.
F off.
There you go.
Those people can F off. The angry reaction emoji people can sorry. Yeah. I'm so happy.
I think it's mystery. I hope that
do we deleted. Do we think that Halle Bailey is gonna do the voice of this animated character?
I don't know. She's supposed to be 8 years old, right?
Oh, yeah. It's like a prequel thing?
Yeah, she's like baby.
Oh, yeah, baby. Okay, well that's sweet. That's gonna be really adorable. Yeah.
And it looks like they're combining like the Disney movie cartoon animals, so you have like our old school Flounder, might have our old school Sebastian in there.
Oh, so cute.
It's gonna be a cool little mix of things. They should have baby other baby Ariel in there, and they could be friends.
Oh my god, in the multiverse,
Little Mermaid 3,
multiverse mermaid.
Yes, oh my gosh. But according to the article, her tail will change colors too, based on like her mood or something.
Cute. Well, that was actually really kind of an awesome creative choice that they made in the movie. It was, you know, I love the iconic, like sort of like aquamarine, like greenish bluish tail, but like the tail they had in the movie was like, sometimes it was pink, sometimes it was purple. Mm-hmm. Like it changed color in the different lighting. And it was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Anyway,
iridescent, maybe.
Iridescent. Okay. That is exactly the word. Yes. Iridescent.
Yeah.
Nice. Cool. And also in Disney news, I kept the news, by the way, Favorites.
Light.
I kept the news kind of light today because I wanted to focus on Luke. So we'll just breeze through this news and get to our interview. Okay. So I already talked to Kevin about this. He has not seen Elemental. Did you get a chance to see it yet?
I haven't. I've been in rehearsal every single day. They've been keeping it overtime, which is why, you know, dear listeners, I was actually late today. So I already apologized a lot. I apologize multiple times, but yeah, we've been going into overtime. So generally our rehearsal schedule, they're 8-hour shifts, but we've been going into overtime almost every day, you know, with just all the little things that we're adding and technical tweaks and costume adjustments and staging adjustments. It's just like, we're in like crunch time. So
yeah, I do theater. I know tech week. It's like the craziest of all crazy.
It is,
especially on a professional scale, you know, like,
yeah. So it's just like, it's intense, but it's all going to pay off when we start our Disney cast member previews on Tuesday. And so we're going to have like little mini audiences of Disney cast members who all they all signed up and I think there wasn't a lottery. Oh, I can't remember. But anyway, they all signed up and apparently it sold out like super fast. Sold out. Like it's free, but it all got booked up super fast and it's very exciting. So we're going to it's sort of the equivalent of like on Broadway, they do like previews. So these are going to be our previews and we'll just be doing that for Disney cast members. And it's very exciting.
Very nice. Fun.
Help us kind of gauge, like, is our show good?
What's working? Yeah.
You know, do people actually
I'm sure it's amazing. Well, I thought I'd give a really quick review, spoiler free, on Elemental. I thought it was really cute. It was really cute.
I have every intention of seeing it.
Yeah. But in like looking at other Pixar movies, it didn't get me there. Like Luca or Toy Story or some, like, especially like Turning Red. The minute I watched it, I turned around and watched it again. Elemental didn't really give me that. Like, it's good. Wade, the water guy, was kind of annoying for like half the movie. And then he gets better.
No. That's unfortunate. Yeah. I mean, it's tough because Pixar has given me some of the most like emotional, like theatrical experiences I've ever had. Like when I tell you, I was on a contract in Virginia of all places. And me and my stage manager at the time, we went and saw Coco together. And when I tell you, we left that theater and we looked at each other, and there was this like collective moment of both of our eyes were all bloodshot and we have both been crying so hard for like the last hour that we both were just like, what happened? And then we talked about it and then we cried more. It was like, it was so emotional. And I have to say, I think Coco is like the pinnacle for me. And Luca was such a beautiful movie.
Yeah.
I was trying to tell people that that movie was a gay love story and they were not.
I told people that too.
It is.
I was like,
it truly is. There's no denying.
It's about two like young boys falling in love with each other, and people were like, "I didn't see it that way." And I was like, "Well, that's because you've never been a gay teenage kid who's like my best friend." You know, it was very obviously that in my eyes, and thankfully, more people have sort of validated that, and as you just did, but. I will still go see Elemental, but yeah, there hasn't been any promotional things or any trailers or anything that have really like piqued my interest. It feels very like Inside Out kind of.
Yeah,
adjacent,
a lot of people compare it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I will see it, and I think it'll be great, but it's.
You know, just there.
The bar is very high, if that makes
sense. It'll be a movie. Yeah.
Yeah. The bar is very high. Yeah.
I will say, though, the merch soundtrack that has come out in Disneyland, it's so cute. There's a whole, like, Elemental jacket, and I'm like, I wish I liked this movie more because I totally buy that jacket.
And I'm all about the fire and water, so I was excited, but the trailers did not excite me. So
I'll
see it.
That part, I mean, I was like, And casting wise, like who are there any names that like jump out at you that
Catherine O'Hara's in it?
Yeah, well, Catherine O'Hara's the mom. I love her.
Well, I love her, and she can do no wrong in my eyes. So now I've got to go see it.
Yeah.
I feel like I've set the bar low for you. I think I've made it sound worse than it was. Like, it really is a good movie,
but I just
didn't love it like other Pixar movies.
Sure. Yeah. No, I've also just been like, you know, for the past month-ish and some change, like, I've just been like so busy. I this is me being a bad Marvel fan. I haven't even gotten to see the new Guardians movie. I'm that behind. So like Elemental is like not even on my list of priorities. I'm like, I gotta see Guardians. I gotta see Across the Spider-Verse. And then I'll go see Elemental.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, well, anyway. Luke, I don't know if you know this about our show, but we're all about segues, and you have just provided the best segue into our marvelous section.
Yeah.
Yay.
Marvelous.
If you're looking to see Guardians of the Galaxy 3, it actually has been announced. It is hitting digital on July 7th and 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and DVD on August 1st. So you have a chance to see it right soon.
Yeah. So when you say digital, does that mean like Disney Plus?
Disney Plus, yeah.
Oh, great. I'll be there. Mm-hmm. July 7th. Boom.
Mm-hmm. But if you cry in movies, make sure to have a whole box of tissues with you.
It's a sad one. It's a sad one.
Oh, man. And I heard there's like animal stuff and like animal.
If you love animals, it's a sad one.
Yeah. I've been a vegetarian since 2015. So I have two dogs that are like my children. Like, they're my babies.
Yep.
So even CGI animal stuff is like upsetting to me. So I've heard
get
this
and I'm
mentally prepared for it. But damn, like it's yeah.
Get the stuffed cuddle monsters. Do it. It'll be great.
My friend Jesse cried 5 times.
No, not 5 times. That's a lot of times.
Yeah. It is a really good movie.
Okay. Well, I'm you know, I'm all about the canon. Like, I got to figure out, like, where are we going with this, you know, overarching theme. So I will see the movie, like, 100%.
Okay.
Apparently on July 7th.
Yeah, July 7th. Just after we see you and Rogers for my second time for Kevin's first.
I'm excited. I'm excited to get there.
Yeah.
Yes. Come to the West Coast, a.k.a. the Best Coast.
Well, for our next Marvelous, this is also a really quick one, but one of the Marvel movies that has not been on Disney Plus has just hit Disney Plus. If you had to guess which movie wouldn't be on Disney Plus, what do you think it is?
Girl, I already know the answer. It's The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah. You are a Marvel fan. I love it.
See, I'm blessed that very many of the people that I'm working with in this show are equally as excited about Marvel as I am. And that just came up in conversation, like, organically, like, 3 days ago. And somebody was like, did you know Incredible Hulk's, like, on Disney Plus now? And I was like, no. And they were like, yeah. And I was like, cool. So, we are.
Yeah.
Like, these are the people I get to hang with every day. And so I'm super, super lucky and grateful that I'm not the only, like, Marvel nerd in this company. Like, there's a lot of, like, really quality people. I'm having a good time, even though it's exhausting.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I always tell people, it's funny, when I was young, I was picked on so much for liking Star Wars and Marvel. Like, I was the nerdy kid that everybody made fun of. And then I grow up, and now it's like amazing if you love Star Wars and Marvel. Everybody comes to me like, what movie should I watch? How does it go down in the comics? I'm like, girl, I've got your information right here.
No way. It's like, usually we don't like that person that's like, I liked it before it was cool. But it's also like, I liked it before it was cool.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's like I was watching the 90s X-Men cartoon, and like I was like, oh my God, on the playground in elementary mm-hmm. school, me and my friends would like be mutants, and like I was always either Jean Grey or Storm because they're my favorite. They're my girls. If I had to pick a favorite, you know, Storm. She's my
girl. Okay.
She's my mutant queen, but Scarlet. Yeah. Well, it's difficult because Scarlet Witch in MCU is not a mutant yet.
Right.
Is she?
No, and they took away her being a mutant in the comics too.
In the comics, she's a mutant.
Not anymore. They retcon that.
They keep changing things around.
I'm going to trust you on that one because I have not kept up with her arc in the comics. But as far as the movies go, there was an implication at one point in WandaVision where like she's a kid and she's like, there's like the missile and she's like trying to make it stop with her hand. And then Agatha's like, did you make that missile stop? And the audience is like, yeah, did she? Like, say if she did, then we'll know. Yes, she's a mutant.
Yeah.
But then they incorporated the time stone and blah, blah, blah. Anyway.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
We asked you what kind of coffee you want.
Cold brew all day.
Incredible Hulk, Disney Plus. We got it.
Yeah, Incredible Hulk. That was the answer.
All right. Last one of Marvelous. Have you guys seen the Kraven trailer?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm here for it.
You're here for it?
I'm here for it, but I'm cautiously optimistic because I thought the very first Morbius trailer was actually good. And I thought it looked like decent. And then I saw, I don't even know if I watched the whole thing. I think I turned it off. It was really bad.
It was really
bad. I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess. I liked the first Venom, the second one. There's two Venoms, right?
There's two.
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know if I even remember the second one. Sony is really on Struggle Street. But it's a good I thought it was a good trailer, and I think he is a great choice. And I love, you know, because I'm a musical theater guy, I love Ariana DeBose, and she is playing Calypso, which is like his love interest. And so I'm interested, but cautiously interested, if that makes sense. What's your take?
Well, do you want to go, Kevin?
Sure. Okay. So for me, I like Aaron Taylor Johnson.
Yeah.
I don't know if he feels right for Kraven though.
Yeah.
I don't know if he doesn't look Kraven enough to me. I want a big, like, Russian looking guy, like really angular, because he's more rounder, I think. Features.
Yeah, that's a good point.
So, and it feels like they're making him another vigilante with like animal powers, which he's supposed to just drink a potion that gives him like enhancements, but not his actual powers. And I like Sony is turning every hero into a vigilante, a Spider-Man villain into a vigilante. I'm like, okay, now we're running out of villains.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm a little nervous about that.
Yeah. It is giving very like anti-hero, right?
Yeah.
Like, and from the trailer, it looks like he just got like bitten by a lion.
Yeah.
Yeah,
like blood soaked into him. Yeah.
A radioactive.
Like, and I'm going to kill the bad guys. And
like, explain. I need. I have so many questions, and I hope the movie answers them. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah.
Money is really.
They got their Spider-Verse movies down.
Yeah, so. They're really hit or miss.
Yeah.
Right. It's so confusing because the Spider-Verse. I haven't, as I said, seen across the Spider-Verse, but every single person I've talked to about it has just said it's the most amazing thing.
Another home run. Yeah.
Well, the first one I rewatched to prepare for the potential watching of the sequel. I was like, I need to watch this movie so that it's fresh in my mind, so that when I do see the sequel, I'll be, you know, totally caught up on everything. And I just still haven't gotten around to it. But the first one is just so freaking good.
Yeah.
It's fantastic. Mm-hmm. The soundtrack, the animation, the voice performances. Oh my God. Amazing. I love
it. Yeah.
Yeah. I love that movie.
Then you will not be disappointed with the second one. But just know, when it starts to feel long, it's because you're going to get slapped with a big old to be continued. You don't get an ending
The cliffhanger is just like, now you end it now.
I love a cliffhanger. Does it say Spider-Man will return? Like it doesn't. I mean, it probably doesn't.
I don't think it did.
I don't remember.
That's a very it's a very MCU thing to be like, Spider-Man will return, blah, blah, blah. Yeah.
We were at, I have a friend who works for Disney, so we went to the company D, the employee store today, and they had a Miguel O'Hara and a regular Spider-Man. Why can't I think of his name now? Miles Morales.
Miles Morales, yeah.
And I swear, Miguel O'Hara, because you could press a button and he talks, and he sounded just like Buzz Lightyear. We're like, that doesn't sound like him at all. And Miles was like, hi, I'm Spider-Man. I'm Miles Morales. And I'm like, why would he say that to anyone?
So he's using the Peter Parker voice. Okay.
Oh, no.
That's what's interesting about they're at the company store.
Yeah. Ugh, I don't love that. But that's so cool about Miles is that he's so different from Peter.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I love me some Peter Parker.
Oh.
Miles is such a great addition to the lore of that character.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that that's a thing. Anyway, go ahead.
We got way out of my opinion about Kraven.
Yeah. You guys, sorry.
It's okay. Tell me your conversation. I think it looks good. I'm here for it. I think Aaron Tyler Johnson is really sexy as Kraven. The only thing I'm worried about is like all this cross-pollination, because Russell Crowe was Zeus. Aaron Tyler Johnson was Quicksilver. So now we're we're getting messy here with these actors.
You're going to confuse people.
Yeah. Why are we having Russell Crowe do all these weird accents? Like, we know he's not good at accents.
That's true.
He hasn't been in a... I'm sorry. Might be a hot take, but he hasn't been in a good movie in a long time. Am I wrong?
Wow, Luke, that's a hot take. But no, you're not wrong.
No. Even in Love and Thunder, which is might be one of my least favorite Thor movies. I didn't love that movie, but I didn't like him as Zeus at all. Am I crazy?
Yes.
Yes? Playing yourself.
No, it's okay. I know a lot of people didn't love Love and Thunder, even though it's called Love and Thunder. But he was a little much as Zeus. But
and
I thought
his,
it was
like,
funny.
Was it what? Like a Mediterranean accent? Because Zeus is like from Greece. Like, ugh.
Yeah,
I don't know. I would have rather just... had him be British, or I'm sorry, well, he's Australian, but be more like Cate Blanchett, who just every movie she's in, she slays in everything she's in.
Be
more like Cate. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's hella good.
She is representing the continent of Australia in the most epic way. Like every, across the board, I couldn't name a single performance of hers that wasn't like,
and don't forget the stepmother in 2015 Cinderella. Ugh. Amazing.
Scene stealer.
Yes.
Galadriel. Yeah. Like. I could go on.
Even
and on.
The wisest cannot tell. Yeah.
And she was the best part of Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Probably one of the only good parts of that movie.
No. With her, like, little Bob.
Bob Nazi.
The Nazi Bob. Yeah, wow. She's so fantastic. I love her. Anyway, wow. Anyway, sorry. Kraven.
That's
looking
okay.
Forward to it.
Would you say that she's one of the best actresses in the galaxy? Galaxy.
Yeah. She's got two Oscars. She almost clenched a third one this past award season, but then she didn't win. Who won the Oscar this past year? Does anybody know?
Wasn't it Michelle?
Michelle Yeoh, which I was so happy about. Okay. Yes.
Oh yeah.
And I think Kate was like, yes. Like I think Kate.
Yep.
Kate was like, even I Kate got knew. Two. I'm good.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, what I just did is I transitioned us into our Star Wars section, which I know neither of you are really here for, but we'll go through it quick. So Princess Leia's white dress from A New Hope is up for auction.
No.
Wow.
Yeah. So I'm wondering from both of you, what do you think the starting bid would be for this dress?
Oh, gosh.
I'm going to say $50,000.
Oh,
okay. I don't know.
I don't know money. I don't know.
What is money?
It's like, I have no sense of like what's normal. I just watched a show about Gene Simmons and he sold a shirt for $2,000. His little famous star shirt, but there you go.
Well, I'm just thinking about like, so Carrie Fisher is no longer with us.
Right.
May she rest in peace.
True.
I feel like when it's items that are related to a person that's like passed away, the value increases. So that's why I'm aiming high.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's my.
Well, you were really close. We just have to like estimate it a little bit higher. Just round up a little bit. Instead of 50,000, it's 2 million.
No. Oh, jeez Louise. Holy crapola.
It's 2 million.
You're too nice.
You multiply what you said by 4.
No. You're like, you're close. Wow.
That's insane.
Wowie, wow, wow, wow.
And that just goes to show the popularity of Star Wars, too. Yes. I think so.
And some millionaire who has just so much money that they don't know what to do with, they're going to buy it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
they're gonna buy it, and I don't want to know what they do with it. Actually,
yeah, Jesus, wow,
cool. And we got a little more information on the next Star Wars movie set for 2024 in April, the month of my birth, and it's gonna focus on Rey. So it said that it's gonna be called New Jedi Order. And there's a synopsis for it now.
Please.
Me.
Read away.
Imagine this in like the crawling scroll text. I'll try to read it dramatically. Set roughly 15 years after Rey's victory over Palpatine and the end of the Star Wars, The Rise of Skywalker, the sequel delves into Rey's courageous endeavor to restore the Jedi Order. Where she assumes the role of a mentor to two promising young students, a girl and a boy. A girl and a boy.
They have to make sure to remind us about the gender binary in Star Wars. Like,
one wears blue, one wears pink. As their training progresses, it becomes evident that the girl possesses extraordinary abilities destined to emerge as the future leader.
Okay.
Oh, sorry. I said something wrong. It will begin filming April 2024. It is currently set to release May 2026. I lied a little bit. I rounded up.
Well, that sounds awesome. The toxic masculinity crowd is gonna be mad that the next savior after Rey is also a girl.
I know.
Those guys are calling it the MCU now because they've introduced so many male characters, and I'm like, yeah, because all of the other characters for 15 years were men,
right?
And now we're finally being like, let's talk about Miss Marvel. Let's talk about She-Hulk. And people are like, oh, it's the MCU now. And I'm like,
get over yourself. Like, this is life, people.
Like, you realize that all these characters have existed for years and years and years. They just haven't gotten the spotlight mm-hmm. because the Iron Man and Cap and Spider-Man and Doctor Strange had the spotlight. Do you know what I mean? Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That pisses me off. But I hope that the movie is well received and yeah, it's exciting. I love the Rey character. She's fantastic. Daisy Ridley is awesome. An amazing
actress. And what I love that's going on right now, to go with your point, is we're seeing with Disney, we're seeing with Marvel, we're seeing with Star Wars, that even though we do have these negative voices, there's so few of them, but they get the mm-hmm. floor because it's negative, it's news. But the numbers, that the money that these movies are bringing in, it shows, like, we're here for Black Ariel. We're here for the females of the MCU. So you all can shut up because there's money to be made here.
Yes, I love that you said that. And I totally agree. And with, you know, Spider-Verse is another example of, like, we have a Black Spider-Man, an Afro-Latino Spider-Man mm-hmm. who is representing so a huge chunk of our, you know, population in America. And it's very exciting. And I hope they continue to put their money towards projects like that.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I remember when Miles Morales got announced in the comics.
In the comics, yeah.
Yeah, they were like, you're doing a Black Latino Spider-Man. And then it was rumored he was also going to be gay. So people are like, really? You're just trying too hard now. Yeah, we're gonna I'm here for back. It. Yeah. And then it was funny because I was a little like, you're going to kill Peter Parker. Like, he is Spider-Man. But I kept my mind open. Like, let me read about this Miles character first. And I, of course, fell in love with him instantly, just like everybody else did.
Yeah.
Now he's like got his own headlining movies. Like, you he's know. Amazing.
And in the video games.
Yeah.
The video games are fantastic. Soon. I haven't delved into that. But, and you know, there is room to potentially bring him into, excuse me, live action, because in Spider-Man Homecoming, his uncle,
mm-hmm. Uncle Aaron.
Mm-hmm. Aaron is, mm-hmm. is what's his name? Childish Gambino.
I was giving his name to Donald Glover.
Yes. Donald Glover. He is technically the Prowler in the MCU. And the Prowler, as we know from the first movie, is his Uncle Aaron. So it's like exciting to think that.
Just remember that when you see Across the Spider-Verse.
Kevin and I smiling at each other. Okay. Like, I'm like,
okay. Uncle Aaron. Into the Spider-Verse. I'm locking it in.
Yeah,
you know, I'm just imagining you with like a notebook during the movie, like Uncle Aaron.
Oh. to reference that movie again, I loved the gender swap surprise of Octavius.
Yeah.
Yes.
The fact that it was Catherine Hahn just made it even more delicious. She's so fantastic. I love her.
She really is. She's amazing.
Yeah.
She's fun.
I'm just like a puddle. All the things we're talking about.
I know.
I love her so much.
All right. Anyway,
I'm so sorry.
One last thing for Star Wars, then we're fine. I was really excited by this.
I will always try to relate Star Wars back to Marvel if you can't tell.
I can tell. So this headline really got me excited, and it was such clickbait, but I'm still excited. It was announced in this article that we were getting a season 5 of Star Wars Rebels, which was the cartoon that was amazing, that we got like Sabine Wren and like Hera and all these characters that we're going to be seeing in Ahsoka. But really what it's saying is Dave Filoni, who we know is like the showrunner for Star Wars right now, he's saying Ahsoka is going to serve as a spiritual Star Wars Rebels season 5. We're going to get to wrap up all the like cliffhanger stories. I know you love a cliffhanger, Luke. Sorry. We're going to get to wrap up all those cliffhangers at the end of Rebels through the live action Ahsoka. So that's something exciting for any Rebels fans who are like, what happened to these characters?
That's
okay.
Awesome. Which I really haven't seen Star Wars Rebels, so I should probably go watch that, huh?
It's good. It's really good.
I heard it's you're not the first person to tell me that. I love Rosario Dawson as Ahsoka. Isn't she great?
Thank you. She's my favorite. She's like my ride or die, like, female actress that I get a free pass for because she is so gorgeous. She is such a great actress. I love her.
I love her too. I think that she is so fantastic and kind of underrated, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she's really given us so many great performances. Like, I, as a musical theater kid, the Rent movie was very formative for me. I didn't come up of age in the era of the original Rent. I was a little young for it.
You know, 96, you know.
Yeah. so I've since learned to appreciate the original Broadway, you know, iteration of Rent. But Rent for me was like seeing it in the theater. And Rosario Dawson was my Mimi. And she slayed. She absolutely slayed. And so to see all the other stuff that she's gone on to do since then, and like, I loved her in Daredevil. She was so fantastic in that. And I love her as Ahsoka. Like,
she... Do you remember her in Josie and the Pussycats?
Yes, of course. Of course. How could I forget?
Yeah.
She's amazing and deeply underrated. So I love that you stan her because she's fantastic.
Yeah. Well, shall we move over to Parks and Rec?
Parks and Rec!
Parks and Rec.
Parks and Rec.
So recently, I posted about it, but Alan and I went to the very first ever Disneyland Pride Night, Disneyland After Dark.
It looked so fun.
It was so much fun. Like, people on TikTok are saying this was like the After Dark to go to. This has been the best one, everybody's saying.
Yeah.
So
California governor was there.
Yeah, Gavin Newsom, which I freaking love because he is my daddy governor. I think he's attractive. And the fact that, like, not only is he supporting LGBTQIA, he's also supporting Disney in a time that DeSantis is attacking both of those groups. So this was a major political thing, and it was
he's
so
he's such
well
an amazing man. Every time really I hear is. Stuff about him, I'm like, California is so lucky. You know,
I know.
The gun laws and everything too. I'm like, you get it.
Yeah, Newsom for president.
Yeah, get it, right?
Daddy Newsom. but yeah, they had special foods at Cafe Orleans. Alan and I ended up getting the same thing, but it was so good. Panko crusted buffalo chicken Monte Cristo.
Wow.
And say you that dipped 10 it times in buffalo fast. Sauce and ranch. Panko crusted. beyond that, like, just seeing all the different characters that were out, like Tiana and Luis, and also the Muses were like a big draw. Like, everybody was excited to see the Muses from Hercules. I didn't get to see C-3PO. He was out there somewhere, as well as what's his name from Frozen?
Which one? Olaf?
No, the shop owner.
Oh, Oaken.
We all think. Yeah. Oaken. I didn't get to see Oak, and I really wanted to see him, but there was just so much. There's music playing. I text Kevin right away because they started playing Barbie Girl, the new remix version, and I was like, this is my place. This is such a feel. So, yeah.
Are featured.
Yeah, featured. Alan and I already, like, we are going back next year, and, like, our friend Victoria is like, I'm coming with you. So, like, it's going to be a thing. I'm so excited.
I need to get to one. I do.
Yeah.
Because that would be amazing.
And you can
Clarabelle,
actually look
at her little dress was amazing. I was like, oh!
Yeah. You can actually book your trip through mymagicaljourneys.com.
You know, you are so right. I've got the hookup over here.
You do. speaking of meeting people, though, there's a Mirabelle meet and greet coming to Walt Disney World. How does that make you feel?
I mean, I'm at Disney World a lot. I don't often do the meet and greets, though, because the lines are way too long. but that's exciting.
Yeah, I'm the same. I don't care about meeting them, but I like seeing them and taking pictures of them.
Yeah, a lot of times, yeah, I'm like, they're like having people line up in the pictures. I'm like, I don't care. I'm taking pictures of strangers with you, but at least I get a picture of you, I'm fine.
Yeah.
One time I took a picture of Gaston. Like from I was on the road, I'm like took like a selfie and Gaston was behind me and he's looking at me like
that's funny.
Like, I'm not in your line, but I'm still getting a picture, I don't care.
That's like one time I was at a Ben de la Creme and Jinx Monsoon show, and we got really good seats for cheap through a friend of a friend, whatever. So we're sitting behind this row of drag queens, and I lift up my phone to discreetly take a picture, and the picture I got has Angina turning and glaring at me with the most evil look, like, I know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then right after I took the picture, my favorite is drag queen, Alaska Thunder something, showed up, and I was like, I can't take another picture now.
Right, now they're watching me. They're going to throw my phone. And...
But anyway, we're not here to talk about RuPaul's Drag Race. We're here to talk about Disney and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So speaking of Walt Disney World, Indiana Jones merch is coming to Walt Disney World. Hopefully we get it out here in Anaheim. Hello.
I mean, yeah, because all we have at Disney World is a stunt show. Where you have a full ride.
Yeah.
Much better than Dinosaur, just saying.
Thank you. I know.
Do you like it better?
I heard people online talking about Dinosaur and like if it's better than Indiana Jones. I'm going to be like, no, you like stop and look at stuff. Indiana Jones is like smooth sailing all the way through.
Yeah.
So we can expect a tie-dye t-shirt for adults for $34.99. There's also Indiana Jones tumbler. I saw that there is Indiana Jones ears with like a little hat in the middle. They strangely don't really look like Indiana Jones. The hat looks kind of weird. But there's a whip on the hat, so it kind of looks like it. Yeah, there's some fun stuff to look out for. I guess you guys over at Walt Disney World get the merch, but we actually get the man because Indiana Jones is going to be walking around Adventureland over in Disneyland.
Oh, exciting. It's like when Tarzan roams your Animal Kingdom. I love looking at Tarzan. Oh.
I imagine you would. So the moment we've all been waiting for, Luke, we want to talk to you about your role as Steve Rogers in Rogers the Musical.
Yay! Yay.
So how did you get connected to this project?
So I, as a musical theater person and a Marvel person, I had my finger on the pulse of this show from the moment they announced it. So, the Disney, there's, you know, if anybody out there is interested in being a performer at Disneyland, DisneyAuditions.com, I'm just saying, this is not an ad, this is the thing. I knew that I wanted to be a part of this show. And so even though I have representation, I was like, I don't know if like my agency is going to like submit me for this project, but like, personally, this is a project that I am very excited and interested in. So I submitted myself. It was like a headshot and you submit like a one video of you singing, right? And then maybe a couple of weeks later, my agent got me an appointment for Captain America. So it's interesting that you're referring to me as Steve Rogers because in the show, just because it's confusing, we have two actors who play this character, right? So we have pre-serum Steve. And so whenever we're referring to Steve, at least in rehearsal, this is, I shouldn't be saying this, but I'm telling you anyway. In rehearsal, when they're like, okay, Steve's, they're referring to pre-serum Steve, like skinny little, little guy. And then we are just Cap. So they refer to the post serum transformation version of us as Cap. So there's Steve and there's Cap. So yes, I am playing Steve Rogers, but I'm Captain America. Like that's sort of my role in this show. And once you see it, I think you'll understand that a little bit better. Anyway, yeah.
Yeah.
So, cool. So my agent submitted me. I went to 3 different auditions. They said over 3,000 people auditioned for this show or submitted for this show. So that was like pretty crazy to hear. I went in and I don't know. I think I already kind of knew what my version of the character was.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe that made me a little more confident. Maybe it made me a little overconfident. I don't know. I had already seen Hawkeye and I knew the Save the City song. Like,
sure. So
when they said, hey, we want you to sing this, I was like,
I got this. Yeah.
You know, I already
got a
choreo. I already know. And they sent me over some other materials that were not from Hawkeye that are new that I'm really excited
Secret.
For you guys. I think the new music in the show is fantastic. And I was fortunate to be able to record a cast album of the show.
Ooh.
I don't know when it's going to be available or how, whether it's streaming or if they're going to, you know, sell copies of it somewhere. I'm not like privy to that information, but we did record a cast album. So it's really exciting. And anyway, it's like super surreal that we're about to open and people are going to actually get to see it. And yeah, please keep.
Yay.
Let's keep around here. Exciting.
Yeah, I remember when they showed the musical in Hawkeye, we were like, Disney's going to be stupid not to do this. And then I was in the audience at D23 when Kevin Feige brought out the people to sing Save the City. I'm like, wait, if they already have people doing this, it's totally coming to the park. And so I lost everything. I lost my poop when I found out it was coming.
Right.
So funny is that every day there were – because Disney – even though like our show is like, we have our creative team, we have our stage management team. It's a very, tight knit group. Disney is a corporation at the end of the day. Right. So like we'll do a run through and then they'll be like, so we just have some like guests and it's like, okay, but, like who is watching? Like I was like, and because this matters to me, I was like, Who's here? They're like, oh, just some executives. And I was like, okay, well, does the executive's name rhyme with Schmevin Schmeigi? And they were like, no, it doesn't. And I was like, okay. Do we know if that is going to be a thing? And they were like, we don't know when he's going to come. And I was like, okay, cool. Okay. So we've had other like, people's names who I can't remember because I'm really actually terrible with names. Bob Iger has not come, but other like, I guess like high ranking, like Disney parks people have come and, Ken somebody, anyway, I'm terrible.
Yeah.
But, we've had some like really like big wig people come and they're really excited about it, which makes me feel really good.
Yeah. Feel good about the show.
We have something good on our hands that people are going to respond to, and I'm excited.
Yeah, there's already so much buzz. I forgot I have a like a bootleg shirt of Rogers the Musical. I should wear that on Thursday.
Please do. I'm still, there's one on like on Amazon, and I'm like, do I buy a Rogers shirt from Amazon? Like they might have them in the park soon, so I might as well just like wait.
Yeah.
Like
get the real.
I'm holding out hope.
Yeah,
that they'll have some.
How would you say? How did you prepare to play Captain America? I'm not saying Steve Rogers this time because you schooled me. So Captain America.
Well done. Yeah. Well, obviously, I had to go back to the source material. So I and by source material, for the listeners, I don't mean the Marvel comics, because even though I feel we've learned at this point that the MCU is not totally married to the characters from the comics, right?
Right.
So
right.
Because this is Marvel Studios presents you know, Rogers the musical, I went back to the source material, as in the films, right? So I watched Captain America the First Avenger multiple times. You know, mannerisms, the character arc, a lot of our show takes place in the 1940s era of Cap, that is portrayed in that film. We do get glimpses, obviously, you know, like Save the City is from the Avengers like era of Cap. So, there is elements of time travel. I won't reveal any more than that, but
okay.
Yeah. So, anyway, that was the most important thing for me to watch, because that's where we sort of get a sense of who he is as a person and what his like core values are. And then they're sprinkled throughout all of the other films all the way through Endgame. Right. So, I watched that one. Winter Soldier is such a fantastic film as well. So it just like kind of like kept going. Like I kind of just like bounced around and watched all the like Cap heavy movies. And, I've seen Infinity War into Endgame, like, so many times that it's like not even funny. Like I already said it, you know, I love Endgame. It's just like, so amazing. And we do incorporate elements of that as well that might, get the emotions flowing. If you're a person who cries, maybe
me.
Oh no.
I will cry.
I don't know.
I mean, I cry at the Finding Nemo musical all the time too.
Okay. So. I have been, because we have multiple casts, and we will rotate, and we will do, you know, one cast will do a run through and another cast will do a run through. I have to say, I've seen the show so many times. Like I have no business being like, oh my God, that really got me. But I will still find moments in the show, and maybe it's because I'm really looking for it. Because I just care about the story so much. I think it's so well done. But I will like get a lump in my throat, like watching a run through of my like counterpart doing a performance and be like, oh my God, like I think our show is really good. You guys like, oh my God. You know, it's not quite that much, but it's sweet. And it, like, think about the way you felt at the end of Endgame when Steve is finally dancing with Peggy and they're just listening to that jazzy music and they're just dancing and that's the end. It's like the way that made you feel is what I'm hoping our show will give you, because it kind of encapsulates their relationship into a really short time frame, but I think it's very effective. That's kind of
that.
Where I'm at on that, I can't give details. Like,
but you know, people just being people, letting them be, you know.
So I think the question on everybody's mind, my last question for you: do you have America's ass?
Wow. I that's hilarious. So I, you know, when I booked this role, I immediately the imposter syndrome of like, oh my God, I have to bulk up, I have to work out, I have to blah blah blah, sort of came flooding into my mind. Thankfully, Disney was not like that at all. They cast me as I am, or as I was. I have lost a little weight since then. This was like 3 months ago, but they were not like, we need to lose 10 pounds. Like, thankfully, you know, cause that would have kind of tarnished the experience for me. They were very supportive of how I looked then and how I look now. And, you know, I don't think that matters to them as much. I will say that the costume department is crushing it, and that I look really good in my costumes. And my castmates have been very complimentary about that particular ass set, if you will. They were being like, "Can't stop staring at your ass," and I'm like, "Good."
Yeah, that's the way it's supposed to be.
You know, it's do I have the same ass that Chris Evans has? No, because I don't have that multi-million-dollar Marvel money to and the trainer and the nutritionist to get me my ass in that situation. But I'm feeling very good about it. Does that answer your question?
Nice. Beautiful. I love it.
We are so thankful that you joined us on the show today. Now you have to go. So Kevin and I have more for you. But before you go, Luke, where can people find you?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. So I'm mainly on Instagram at Luke P. Monday. P is in Paxton because that's my middle name. Like Bill Sexy. Paxton, R.I.P. Bill Paxton is the one who passed away, right? Has he? God, I'm so bad.
I don't remember.
Anyway, so I'm at Luke P. Monday on Instagram. Believe the same on TikTok, and then I'm on Facebook as well, but I'm not as much as active on Facebook
as nobody is as anymore.
Nobody is unless you're over the age of like 60. So anyway, yeah, I'm so happy to meet you guys and talk to you guys.
Yeah,
excited. This is so great.
I'm adding you right now.
Yeah,
I'm totally gonna stalk you.
Yeah, we'll be in touch. He's got sexy pictures on there like I do, Sean. It's fine.
Okay. yeah. Oh, yeah. You'll understand how we connected when you see my Instagram.
Yeah.
But I love both of your point of view, and like I'm happy to come back and talk about this kind of stuff. And maybe this is a good opportunity for me to like watch some more Star Wars stuff, because I feel really bad that I don't have the knowledge to like really contribute to that conversation, you know.
Shall we get to some Margal Dizbiz, Kevin?
Okay, let's do it.
So our last question was, who is your favorite Star Wars droid? R2-D2, C-3PO, BB-8, or K2SO?
I know what I said. I wrote in. I said the gay one.
Oh, you did?
So C-3PO.
Yeah. So I was surprised by this, and I almost voted for this droid, and I kind of wish I did because they came in dead last. But BB-8 was the least popular with only 10% of the votes. I have a hard time, though, because I love BB-8, but I love another droid, and the other droid's been around longer. So,
Yeah.
C-3PO and K2SO tied at 20% each. So that just leaves R2-D2 with 50% of the votes.
That was expected. It really was.
Yeah, I voted for him. Even though I think BB-8 has a cooler design, like R2-D2 is like the OG droid.
Yeah. And full of personality.
Yeah.
See, I know things about things. Wow. I actually know them.
You do.
Star Wars.
So for this week's question, I wanted to know, because we all know that Captain America is going to sing in Rogers the Musical. So he's not part of this vote. But I want to know, who are you most excited to see sing in Rogers the Musical? Is it Iron Man, Black Widow, Hulk, or Thor?
Oh my goodness. I love them all, but I think it'd be most interesting to hear Hulk sing.
I think so too.
Like, cause, you know, the other ones, you could have a nice musical theater voice, but Hulk, like, how do you sing? He's gonna, like, I don't know. Right. It's gonna be like Brad Garrett in Tangled, maybe.
Yeah.
Thank you. Like everybody else, I've got a dream. Yeah. So yeah, maybe that'd be fun.
Yeah. All right. And of course, I mean, on our cover Disney, this episode's all about one thing, Rogers the Musical. So here's a little snippet of Save the City from Rogers the Musical.
Something strange in the air today. The sun is gone and the clouds turn gray. Just what's coming is hard to say. I don't know. There's a battle above the street. The ground is rumbling below our feet. The skies turn red and I feel the heat. Gotta go. Who can save us? A city sings. We need the hope that salvation brings. You've the power to find the light. Avengers assemble and fight the fight. Save the city, help us win. Save us all from the state we're in. Things look dark, but I know this can't be the end. No, my friend, it can't be the end. There's a future, and I know them. With the strength you bring us, we'll rise again. Avengers unite, because we've got to hear you say.
Amazing.
Amazing. All right. And lastly, before we get to our favorite moment this week, have you watched Secret Invasion yet?
No, it's out. Oh, my goodness gracious. I have not.
It's That's, out. And apparently, how do I keep up with these episodes? Things? I know. So since you haven't seen it, I won't spoil anything except for we get a death, Kevin. It ends with a death of someone. I won't say who, but there's a lot that happens in this little episode.
Wow. I need to watch it.
You need to watch it.
I'm probably going to cry.
You're probably going to cry. Mm-hmm. The only thing I want to see more of through the series we didn't really get in this first episode is like the tension of not knowing who's a Skrull and who is. I feel like they didn't really beef that up as much as they could have. I don't know, because the comic started off with like Elektra gets killed and she falls to the ground and turns into a Skrull and everybody's shocked. And we didn't really get that moment, I'd say, in this episode. Yeah. So I'm curious to see where we go, but I'm definitely excited for it.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Oh, Luke Monday just messaged me.
Yes.
Don't be a stranger.
Don't be a stranger. Hi,
Luke. All right. So we'll get more into Secret Invasion next week when Alan's back. But do you have a favorite moment from this last week?
This last week was so many things. So many things. I'm going to say doing this podcast with you, being back on the show. It's always exciting to come on and talk about the Marvel and the Disney because it's some of the, my favorite things, my favorite things. Favorite, there we go.
I always love having you on. You're so much fun.
Well, thank you.
Obviously, since we have like three other podcasts
together. We just keep podcasting together all the time. We can't stop.
I know. We're doing 3 days in a row. No, not in a row, but we're doing 3 days of podcasting this week.
It's a lot, but you know, I can't get enough of Sean.
I can't get enough of Kevin. So right before we started recording, I teased Kevin a little, not in that way. This is a family show. For my favorite moment, I started to notice something on a Disney ride. I noticed a recurring character. And if you already know this, sorry to take up your time. But on Mickey and Minnie's Runaway Railway, I started to notice a Krabby Krab following us through the ride. And when we looked it up, he apparently shows up 11 times throughout the ride. My friend Sonya and I went on it, and we I think we counted up to 5. But 11 times, Kevin.
Wow.
We are going to have to look for this thing 11 times.
Okay. And I've been on the ride quite a bit because it's at Disney World. It's been at Disney World for longer. So I've been on it quite a bit, and I've only probably seen it maybe 2 or 3 times because I'm just like, oh, there's that thing. Like, so.
Yeah. So I'm excited to look for that. I already kind of looked up a few of where you can find him, and some of it is like really fast, so we're gonna have to have eagle eyes.
Yeah, especially with all the, you know, sambaing around, I guess. Dun, 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 yeah. Dun, 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 whatever.
I love that
the tangoing
part.
Yeah.
Well, this has been so much fun. Thank you for not only coming on, but bringing Luke with you. I just had such a lovely time speaking with him. It's nice to talk to a fellow nerd who's passionate mm-hmm. about the world of Disney, the galaxy of Disney.
Mm-hmm. We find our people, we find the good ones. And yeah, it makes me want to get back into my musical theater too, because I haven't been in a show since Cinderella.
Wow.
But you know, podcasting takes up my life, so. but I'll audition again.
Yeah. So we already dropped the bomb on my magical journeys and Solving for X. We talked about those. Where else can people find you?
Yeah, you can also find me at Words of the Witches, where we're covering the Charmed comic books. And Sean is there. We're in season 10. It's getting crazy. Oh, my gosh. All the craziness. It's so fun. So check that out if you like Charmed. Or you can follow my personal Instagram, KGZ87. It's not the most family friendly, but it's decent enough. So approach with caution, but you know, there you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, I think that actually does it for our show then. We already said where to find us. We did our favorite moment. We did the news. Alan will be back next week and we'll keep on going from there.
Sounds great. Yay!
Yay, find those crabs.
Find those crabs.